You are listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Welcome, boys and ghouls, to a delightfully spooktacular edition of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my co-hosts, 365 Days of Horror, and Brenno-side. I don't know. There should be like a spooky thing you can do there, Brenno. What do you got?
I think that genocide is actually really scary and something that a lot of people deal with. So, you know, that's pretty scary. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's really, that was really insensitive of me, and I apologize.
It's insensitive of me to have been using the name for this long, but it stuck. So now what am I going to do with it?
I mean, you could always rebrand like a symbol or something like that, you know, like Prince did when he got in a fight with his label.
Yeah, I should. I'm just going to pick my favorite emoji or something.
A slice of pizza with a sad face on it.
Yeah, that's good. That's me in a nutshell, or like a pizza slice.
Yeah, what is your favorite emoji?
I really like the thinking emoji because I everything I see on the internet, I can really respond to with that. I have a lot to ponder when I look at just about anything anybody says.
It is a really just quick way to say to someone the thing that you said is really dumb. So it's a good emoji. Yeah. I like the Easter Island head that for some reason comes with every iOS update. Like, it has no practical purpose in any conversation whatsoever because you're not going to be like, hey, I'm going to pop over to Easter Island for a bit, you know, be completely thousands of miles away from the mainland to this place that just has these statue heads. But I like it.
Didn't they find out that they had bodies to the heads recently? Didn't they like excavate them and find that there was more to those statues?
Yeah, they have bodies. I think not all of them. And some of them have hats, some of them have full bodies. So, like, the entire story of Easter Island and, like, the tragedy of the commons and all of this shit, like, it's really interesting, and we can get into it on an episode that's not supposed to be spooky, goddammit, because we need to get spooky right now, because this is your last regular episode, non-paid episode before Halloween, and we're going to do it up big. How about that?
Sounds good, man. For those that don't know, I held up the podcast recording tonight. I was actually late because me and the in-laws and my wife, we all carved pumpkins. They got me all roped into that, and it took a lot longer than I thought it would.
That's okay, because I'm now two drinks deeper than I normally am when we record, so should be a lucid episode. How about that?
There we go. Should be a loose one.
What do you guys normally do for Halloween aside from carving pumpkins with your in-laws?
I usually just don't get invited to costume parties and then check them out the next day on Instagram, you bunch of fucking pricks.
Who is not inviting you to their costume party? Like, it seems like, do you know people that have costume parties and they just don't invite you?
I'm wrong. Like, five people invite me to costume parties every single year, and every single year I deny each one, and then I just whine about it later because they're not the people who I wanted to invite me to costume parties. That's how it is being a cool person, you know?
Yeah.
You pick and choose who likes you.
I know, like, five people in real life, So I've never had to worry, like, oh, I hope they remember to invite me. It's like, yeah, I mean, I know that person. I'll probably just go over anyway.
Yeah. Down there in Texas, you got to drive 37 miles to see one of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I think that's a good lesson for younger listeners. Like, once you hit 30, you have no more friends. You know, like, three people, and then you know the people you work with.
Yeah, and you don't even like them.
No.
They're not the ones that you wanted to stick around.
Well, that's not true. Like, the friends that I have now are still good dudes and ladies for the most part, kind of, most of the time.
But I mean, like, real life friends. You see them as much as you used to see your friends when you were in high school or college.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was in college, if I wasn't working or going to school, like, I was just hanging out with my dudes, you know, drinking malt liquor and such. So now I, like, see my bros maybe once a week.
And soon it'll be once a month, and that'll be once every other month. It'll happen.
Yeah, man.
I mean, give it time.
none of the three of us have kids, right? Right? Like, Jordan, you don't have any kids?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware of, right. you got some things going on in different zip codes you don't quite remember, but for the most part, you're not sure.
I'm setting up franchises.
That's right. But, yeah, I can't imagine, like, keeping friends once you have kids. I don't have any kids. I've been very lucky so far. But I don't, you know, that was one thing when I was younger. I was like, why doesn't my dad have any friends?
Because of you, you ruined his good time.
I all this time, I just thought it was because he was a mean son of a bitch.
Little column A, little column B.
Parenthood is the real horror.
Ooh. Yeah, man. So, Jordan, I take it you're not going to be going out to any Halloween parties this year?
I'm not much of a partier now or ever, but I do have a couple of Halloween traditions that I've been doing for the past few years. One of them is I watch Garfield's Halloween Adventure, which sounds super weird because I'm not a Garfield fan, but when I was little, my dad would make like VHS tapes of like whatever cartoons were on, and this was one of them, and it's on YouTube for anyone to watch the whole thing, and it's like oddly entertaining and makes me nostalgic.
I've seen that. Also, my family did the same thing. I think that, you know, it was before YouTube, or like, you know, we never had cable or anything, so you would, you know, just tape cartoons that were on TV so you could put something on and make the kids shut up later. And so that's how you end up watching, like, the Claymation Adventures of Mark Twain 1,000 times before you, like, you can form sentences.
Oh, man, that show was fucked up.
I mean, like, I saw it for the first time, like, as an adult pretty recently, I guess. And the whole scene, all the scenes with Satan, like, that is extremely dark. But that was my shit when I was a kid. I love that.
I also like to watch, you know, we've said on the show before that I like the movie Pontypool, so I usually watch it once a year on Halloween. And I also like to watch a horror movie I've never seen before, just so it's something to look forward to. And going in between two movies that are on Netflix now, one is called Tank 432, which I've heard mixed things about. And the other is Train to Busan, which is, I forget which country it's from, but it's a foreign horror zombie movie, like where they're on trains. And the trailer looks pretty cool. Definitely recommend people check it out.
So speaking of movies that we haven't seen before, our good buddy 365 here gave us a bit of homework.
Not yet. Okay. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Pontypool, if you go back 1 year ago, to episode 31 of the Troll of Hell Radio Show, you can hear us discussing the film Pontypool with Randall Thor, who sadly died a year ago.
On this very night.
On this very...
That's right. It's the one-year anniversary of this show getting good.
He's actually been dead for 25 years.
If you listen closely, you could hear him say, "Poser."
That's right. If you turn up your volume all of the way in like the electrostatic phenomenon or whatever it is, what's that called when you get like the like they did in The Sixth Sense when you jack the volume up all the way and you heard all the weird shit in the static, the ghosts talking?
Isn't the same shit with like the Mothman prophecy or something like that?
Yeah. Boy, that was a good movie.
I mean, go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear a discussion of Pontypool. This time around, we decided that we'd watch a different film with a different kind of flavor, and we could discuss the intricacies of that film. Slumber Party Massacre 2 is the name of the film. Let's put a pin in that, and we can push it a little bit later in the episode to discuss that. So if you guys want to hit pause and go to YouTube and watch that, you can follow up with us as we're discussing it. The name of the film is Slumber Party Massacre 2. It is available on YouTube. So press pause now and then go watch that and then join us after this discussion. So you're not going out? You guys don't have any costumes or anything for this year?
Nah.
No? No.
No. Me and my lady are doing a couple's costume this year.
Oh yeah, what are you guys going as? The two M&Ms?
No.
Although nailed it.
Now I'm just kind of imagining like her dressing like as the sexy green M&M lady, and me like putting platinum blonde dye in my hair and going as M&M.
Oh yeah, that's right. Hot coffee pot drop.
Terrible. I respect rap now though. We're actually going as the albino twins from The Matrix Reloaded.
Oh my god.
We have everything. Like we've got our balding platinum blonde dreadlocks wigs.
Oh man, you have those sweet swooping sunglasses and the I can't remember. Do they have like was it white trench coats or metallic?
Yeah. White trench coats. I think it's gonna be a hit. I think it's gonna be a good look. My buddy does a pretty big Halloween party every year, so we're gonna do it right. Whatever the fuck their names were, the underappreciated Wachowski classic, The Matrix Reloaded.
So, do you like those movies, or is it just yeah, this works, let's do it?
I love The Matrix. Like I saw it when I was a kid. I thought it was just the greatest shit. I still love that movie. I think it's a great movie. I saw The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions in the theater on opening night, both of them. And same. They were both so goddamn disappointing.
Yeah. Reloaded especially a lot worse. It was really, really a genuinely terrible film all throughout.
Man, what was that like meeting the architect and he's like Colonel Sanders or some shit? Like
ergo.
Remember that scene in the elevator where they're just talking because of what happened and how it happened and it couldn't have happened any other way? And it was just like, God, who fucking wrote this? Who wrote this and then made an actor say it out loud into a camera? It's just the worst dialogue in cinema history.
For me, it's all about the scene is it Babylon? I forget the name of the place.
Zion.
Zion, yeah.
I don't even like the movies and I know that.
Yeah, Zion and all of the citizens of the real Earth are just raving hard as shit to, like, techno.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 10 minutes long. It never ends.
Yeah.
It's like a hot, wet dance scene, and there's, like, lots of, like, see-through shirts with nipples. And then immediately after all the nipple action, you get Keanu Reeves' bare ass right in your face.
Yeah, yeah. Going to town on Carrie Ann Moss. Who I don't know, something must have happened with those movies because I don't think she did anything after the Matrix movies.
I can't imagine why.
But again, I'm sorry to get off topic here. We're not talking about badass sci-fi movies with leather trench coats. We're here to talk about horror movies. I don't know about you guys, but I like watching a good horror movie every now and again. My lady and I, we got Shudder, like the horror streaming service, so that we can just constantly watch like garbage tier horror movies all the time.
Oh yeah, so, is it all like B-stock stuff? I mean, not B-stock. I'm sorry, B movies and.
There's a lot of really good stuff on there, like a lot of independent movies that you'd never see before, like kind of forgotten really good movies. Like there's all kinds of early Cronenberg work on there that I had never even heard of. And then there's just, you know, plenty of just schlock, just awful shit. But it's well worth it if, like, you're super into watching horror movies all the time, like she is. So yeah. I think we've been averaging at least one movie a night for the last, I don't know, what day is today? 21 days. We've seen some pretty good stuff, I think, and some really bad stuff. We caught Sleepaway Camp. Last night, have you guys ever seen that one?
Oh yes,
I've actually missed that one myself. Is it worth watching?
Don't pay for it, but sure.
here's the thing with Sleepaway Camp, and I'm actually shocked that you don't know about it because it's a pretty famous horror movie one scene.
I wouldn't say I don't know about it. I don't think I've ever like watched it.
I see.
I mean, well, I'd heard the name around, and it was like, oh, Notorious or like something like that. I'd never actually seen it. I figured that Like with other movies of the era, it was just filled with gratuitous rape scenes. I Spit on Your Grave, or like Last House on the Left, or shit like that. But no, it was it's notorious for a completely different reason.
What do they call those? Exploitation films?
Exploitation, yeah. Sexploitation, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, Jordan, you and I talked about this briefly, like just over Messenger, about Sleepaway Camp. And I read your review that you wrote of the movie for your old horror blog. But the thing that stuck with me most, aside from like the obvious, like super gratuitous ending, was that the chef of this place is just obviously a child rapist. Like, he's talking about raping children like a lot, and everybody around him that he's talking to is like, "Oh, Clyde, you're so silly with your child raping ways." Like, it is. That's kind of the thing that stuck with me most about this. That and like the camp counselor, like the 60-year-old man, like trying to bang a 15-year-old.
It was a different time.
Yeah. That movie was made like 30 years ago. That's this different time sounds horrifying.
And it was a different time.
Yeah. I'm glad we live now. I guess opposed to then.
are we? Are you? You know.
Sometimes. Sometimes not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on.
This is a bad movie with bad intentions, but it's really entertaining to watch.
Well, no. If you guys want to discuss the ending openly, I mean, there's like a statute of limitations on this kind of shit. Like, how old is this movie? 30, 40 years I had to see this, and if I missed out, I mean, you know, it's all only on me. You know, I'm not going to get upset.
I don't know. Well, Jordan, what do you think?
I suppose it's 30 years old, and if people are really interested, they can just go to YouTube and look up Sleepaway Camp ending, and it's right there. Uncensored, by the way.
Yeah, that we were watching it on YouTube as well. It was like, oh, huh, how about that? Okay, so all the way to the beginning, there are these horrible teenagers at a summer camp, because, all you know, everything bad is teenagers. They're driving a speedboat with some poor girl water skiing behind them, and these two teenagers accidentally kill this guy and one of his kids, and the other kid escapes. Fast forward like, I don't know. And like, it's kind of a slow film. Again, like, the most notable thing for me is this disgusting pederast, like, staring at the children coming in and talking to his coworkers about, like, how much he wants to bang these, like, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. And he tries to at one point, and then, like, another kid catches him. And then that pedophile guy gets burned alive by, like, hot oil. And it's actually really good effects. Like, the skin bubbling and bursting, like, they did a really good job of the special effects there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, worth checking out for that, at least.
Neat.
I kind of lost my place in this. TLDR, this, Angela is the main character, the child that survived the boat crash at the beginning, is actually murdering everybody, and it ends with her holding the severed head of a boy, and she's completely stark naked, and like just has this horrifying look on her face, like it's completely terrifying, and she's soaked in blood, and the counselors comes up and finds her like holding this severed head covered in blood, shrieking completely naked. And he says, "Angela, you're a boy," because Angela has a dick. And that's it. The movie just ends there. But, like, I guess, again, you say it was a different time, but for me, the most shocking thing about seeing a child holding another child's severed head covered in blood and shrieking, I wouldn't be like, oh, you got a dick.
I guess it really was a different time.
Well, the weird thing about the scene is it's actually disturbing because of her face. The face she makes is like her mouth is gaping wide open, her eyes are wide open, and it doesn't change the expression at all. And like a weird, like croaky gurgling sound is coming out of her. It's very weird.
They roll the credits over like a still of like that shrieking face. Like it is actually like a pretty like terrifying image, and it's just the focus is on this little dick. But anyway, have you guys seen anything else that was worthwhile this season?
How do you follow that up?
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, I always say, just watch Halloween 3. You can't go wrong with that one.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I like From Dusk Till Dawn's always entertaining, whether it's horror-related or just violence-related. American Werewolf in London's always good. The Host is good if you need...
Are you talking about the Host, the Stephanie Meyer film, the romantic science fiction thriller?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about it's a foreign movie. It's kind of like a Godzilla movie, but it's really well done. I think it's on Netflix. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's like a... Is that Korean?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's got the giant salamander. One really cool thing about The Host is that... usually with movies like that, there's like a ton of boring ass regular life build up until the monster stuff happens. But with The Host, it happens within like the first 5 minutes. Just pure like, you know, like batshit terror with a giant monster smashing stuff like 5 minutes into the film. And then the film doesn't really stop after that.
Yeah, it's a good balance of that sort of stuff and the, you know, character development.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel like you like movies that are a little bit, I don't know what the word is, technically better than the things that I enjoy.
Oh, I don't get me wrong. I like a bad movie every now and then, but I think I have my limit between, like, this is so bad it's good and, oh my God, make it stop.
I've been going through and rewatching the Purge movies. Did you ever catch any of those?
I have not seen a single Purge movie.
Me neither.
I haven't. I think... the stacking of sequels just kind of did it for me. I was like, there's no way. It seemed like it would be like the next Paranormal Activity or something. So I just didn't bother. But I don't know. It seems pretty self-explanatory. Like it's one of those things where the trailer tells you the whole thing or.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, the first movie, there's this thing about The Purge though. The first movie is not good. But the two sequels are actually badass. And it's funny because, it's backwards, you know? Like, the first movie stars Ethan Hawke. And the second and third movie are, like, Frank Grillo, you know? Like, the A-list star that is Frank Grillo. The first one isn't. It's a home invasion movie. It's entirely contained there. And thankfully, some brilliant group of people were like, you know, this concept is too good to just waste on this shit-ass home invasion movie. Let's go ahead and we'll take it outside. Like, we'll explore this whole world that's, like, going completely mad the one night of a year that, like, all crime is legal.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what I thought every movie was really like. I didn't think it would be, like, so confined. What was that movie with, I think it was Jodie Foster, The Safe Room, was it? It was like
Panic Room.
Yeah, it was the safe space.
The SJWs.
Panic Room, yeah. Somebody said that Panic Room was like Home Alone for adults.
Shit. That's great.
Yeah, but home invasion movies, they're a dime a dozen these days. There's too many of them. And everybody's got to have some goofy mask when they break into somebody's house.
Yeah, we talked about this on another episode, but like the same week that The Purge came out, there was another home invasion movie that was like actually fucking 10 million times better. Did you ever see You're Next?
Everybody's told me to watch that. I don't know why I haven't seen it.
Oh man, it's so good. In terms of home invasion movies, like it's a shame that one was kind of like I feel like it was lost in the shuffle with the original Purge, which again is not a good movie.
It was like oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking. I know I was going to say it was like that other movie that was like Armageddon to that movie's Armageddon, but I can't remember the name of the movie.
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact, yeah. Martin Freeman is the prison. There was a long stretch of time in cinema where movies just like each other would come out in the same weekend. There was like Ants and Bug's Life, and there was Deep Impact and Armageddon, and just a slew of other ones I can't think of right now.
That's because stories, people pitch their stories to different studios, and they might pass on that actual story, but then they'll just take the idea and make their own and try to crank it out as fast as possible.
That's my goal.
It's what we do every week here.
Heyo. Cool. I don't know, did you ever see Sinister?
Sinister. I feel like I've seen Sinister, yeah.
That was Ethan Hawke was in that one too. But
Sinister that movie where there was like a bunch of snuff films that the guy found and he was wearing the same sweater the whole movie? I thought that was
Ethan Hawke's acting sweater.
Acting sweater, right? With the leather elbow pads. Dude, I thought that movie was so awesome up until the point you find out that it was bullshit. Like it was like I thought it was like a legit serial killer movie of some kind.
Oh yeah.
And then you find out it's like, oh, it's because Mr. Oogie Boogie Woogie Man gets the kitty kids to
excuse evil me. And his, bad. His name is Bagul, and he has the best corpse paint in all of like the demon world.
Come on, what the fuck was his name? They called him something else in the movie. Like the kids called him something.
What did they call him? It was Bagul for sure. But Sinister came out at the same time as there were two other horror like series that like just had the one single word scary name, and it's killing me that I can't think of the name now.
Yeah, seriously.
Man.
They should call a movie Oh Shit. That'd be a great. It's like the movie Get Out, you know how that title had so much impact and you knew exactly what you were getting into. They should have a movie that's just called like Oh Shit.
Or like from Grindhouse, they had the fake trailer for Don't.
Don't.
you put up a good thread, or one of you guys did, of like survive a horror movie in 5 words. Do you remember your advice on that?
It was survive a horror movie in 5 words was the hashtag on Twitter, and mine was don't run, just start skipping.
some of my personal favorites that I came up with she is not worth it, and a gun for every American person or something like that.
It's five words, right?
Yeah, I couldn't remember exactly what I said. When I had time on Twitter to write it down, it was pretty good. But
I think off the top of my head, I'd like get out the goddamn house. Goddamn being one word.
It was very Texan of you. It was like, get out the goddamn house.
That fucker ain't dead yet.
Right.
Charge your fucking phone, idiot.
That's a good one, too. Stop banging each other, teens. Orphan child, clearly an adult.
See, I did see that movie. That was a good movie.
Orphan? You thought that was a good movie?
I thought the cinematography on it was like way too good for what it was.
Was Ethan Hawke in that one too? I feel like he was.
I think so. I think there was some salt and pepper guy with glasses. It must have been him.
Ethan Hawke is just the avatar for white dudes in horror movies.
Yeah. I mean, like the whole thing in The Matrix was your residual self-image, which is why Neo saw himself as like wearing jeans and a cardigan. That's my residual self-image as a white writer is Ethan Hawke.
Perfect.
It was Peter Sarsgaard, who looks like Ethan Hawke.
Peter Sarsgaard? It's a very Scandinavian last name. That's not the guy who played It, was it?
No,
it's a different Sarsgaard.
There's a lot of Sarsgaards right now, I feel like.
Aren't like there?
Is it like the Scandinavian Smith?
Let's go with it.
Okay, so because there's Alexander Skarsgård, there's Peter Skarsgård, there's Stellan Skarsgård, who I believe is it, and apparently there's a Gustav Skarsgård. So
holy shit.
These it's are like a the, gaggle the, of Skarsgård.
It's like the Baldwin brothers.
Exactly. It's the fucking IKEA Baldwins.
There's just a factory that pumps out Skarsgårds.
Yeah. Yeah. That should at least, I think that's the name of one of the side tables if you go to IKEA.
A Publi, a Skarsgård, a Bjorn.
Yeah, right. I picked up a Burzum from my bedroom the other day. I think we can probably do this now, right? Like we're warmed up and we're ready to get into the meat of this, right?
I don't know if we're ever going to be ready for this. But let's do it.
Jordan, you want to lead us off on this discussion of Slumber Party Massacre 2?
So, on background, I saw this movie maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago with a friend of mine who purchased this movie, the original VHS. And he knew I liked horror movies, so we just gave it a shot. And this shouldn't be confused with other massacre movies of the 80s, such as Cheerleader Massacre, Sorority House Massacre, or The Last Slumber Party. And those are all real movies, by the way.
Or Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, which actually I think was released in 2015.
Is there a 1 and 2 for that?
No, there's not. But it's a parody of the whole thing, and it's actually dope, and it's got Andrew WK in it, and we should probably talk about it on another episode.
That does sound dope.
It's so good. Let's talk about it on this another episode.
Nice.
So Slumber Party Massacre 2 is obviously the sequel to Slumber Party Massacre. The interesting thing about the Slumber Party Massacre movies, there's, I believe, 3 of them, is that they're all written and directed by women, which is vastly different from just about every other slasher movie, I think, in existence.
Yeah, you told me that, and I mentioned that to my lady. We watched this together, of course, and he was like, wow, that is crazy, because they directed it just like a man at the time would. Like, there's gratuitous titty shots.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, stupid, stupid shit. Have you seen the covers for these two movies? It's, like, some of the most misogynist, ridiculous 80s shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, well,
I think it helps to know that the original Slumber Party Massacre was kind of written not necessarily as a satire, but more like a parody of the slasher genre in general.
So what happens like not when parody gives in to trying to make a buck?
Yeah, I feel like 90% of the slasher genre is a parody of itself. Nobody really knows who's trying to be serious anymore.
Yeah, I think that's slightly unintentional, because they were just trying to piggyback off of like Friday the 13th.
Yeah, and I don't know. God bless them. Like, I love these movies. So I have not seen the first Slumber Party Massacre, and I thought that might be, you know, a detriment to discussing this. But on the contrary, I think it made it better for me.
Yeah,
because I liked not knowing exactly what was going on.
Well, here's the thing: how I felt about watching this movie, and I felt irked because the fucking supreme arrogance that a movie like Slumber Party Massacre, the original one, would deserve a sequel, let alone that the sequel should have some sort of vital enough connection to the previous film that it consistently referenced it throughout, as if anyone would ever see that first movie and then go see the second one fully prepared for it. It's simply criminal to me.
So, Jordan, maybe you can answer this for me, because I was genuinely confused as to whether they kept flashing, doing flashbacks to the original movie in part two, or flashing forward to things that were about to happen in part two. Because I feel like at the beginning it telegraphed all the kill scenes in this movie.
They did actually show clips from the first one.
Okay. See, that's what I thought what was going on. I was like, oh, I guess I really should have seen the first one, because it's like if you watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 or some other campy sequel, it's nothing. You would never have to see the first one to have a good time watching that movie. It's barely referenced.
Yeah. Well, it's I've got a lot of questions about this movie, and I feel like we can answer them together as we move forward with this.
Let's do it. Let's work on this. Let's evaluate this
film. I think both of you are putting a lot of feelings and effort into a movie that was produced by Roger Corman.
Wait, really?
Really?
Wow.
I found a really excellent synopsis of this film we're talking about on loftcinema.org. It starts off, thrills, chills, and guitar drills. When a supernatural rockabilly killer terrorizes an all-female high school rock band at their totally bitchin' slumber party, there's going to be hell to pay and a big mess to clean up, like, for sure, in this goofy horror sequel with a beat you can die to.
That's awesome. I feel like It is worth noting before we get too deep in this, the main villain in this film is Andrew Dice Clay. So the film begins.
That's who that was.
The film begins with our protagonist Courtney, who is jerking off, she's imagining like some dude throwing a perfect spiral, like football pass.
Mind you, this dude at the beginning, he's supposed to be a high school student.
None of them are high school students, clearly.
Right.
But specifically this guy, the quarterback guy, is older than I am.
One thing I always appreciated about movies, and this isn't just like 80s and 90s, like this still happens today, is how they cast like 34-year-old people to play high school kids. It's like it's hard enough to go through puberty for high schoolers without decades of cinema telling us we were already supposed to be these like fully developed chiseled silver foxes by like our sophomore year.
That was deeply confusing for me as a kid, because I don't think I like grew facial hair until I was like 20.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even they had Andrew Garfield play Peter Parker in high school, like when he was like 29. So it's super unfair for kids to see this shit and think that's how high school kids are supposed to look. People with like Adam's apples and fucking, I don't know, sunken in eyes and shit.
And pubic hair. And,
right.
But anyway, yeah, we begin with Courtney jerking off to the thought of this guy throwing a perfect spiral, just like I do. And then, like, her dreams are, like, quickly, like, disturbed by imagining a drill, like, killing all of her friends, held by Andrew Dice Clay. So she gets up, she starts her day, and she sees a dead bird on the ground, as she imagined in those dreams of all the bad things happening. She and her friend get in the car, and I guess they're going to school or some shit, who cares? They're singing along to the radio, and I immediately started Googling these lyrics that they were singing, because it was ridiculous. It was an original song written for the film, but I think the chorus was, I want a Tokyo convertible. I want to be your Tokyo convertible. I want to have fun with you. I just love going through the motion. I just love going through the motion. Anyway, they're all in a band together, Courtney and her friend and their two other friends. And we jump to a scene of them playing music in their garage together. And what was great about this is that all the sound had been removed by YouTube. So it was just these women like lip syncing and like dancing around holding guitars, and just no sound was coming out whatsoever. At least that was my experience. Maybe, did you guys hear anything different?
No, same thing.
No.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I assume there was a song they were playing, and then just the format, YouTube flagged it for some reason or another, maybe copyright. But from what I can tell, all the music in this movie was like made for this movie. So I don't know, maybe whoever wrote that song just got salty about it.
Yeah, if we could guess which 80s song it would have been. It was 1987, so Master Puppets, that was it.
Don't worry, be happy.
Yeah, right. That's probably it, actually. So all the girls, they decide that they're going to go to one of their dad's condo for the weekend to play music and drink, because he's going to be out of town. So Courtney convinces her mom to let her go. Originally, she was supposed to go hang out at the mental hospital with her sister, who had apparently been in the first movie as well, which is why she was in the mental hospital. Just following, like, horror movie logic, if you survive an encounter with, like, an undead serial killer, you have to go to the mental hospital, like in Hellraiser 2, right?
See, in the first movie, just so you know, it wasn't an undead supernatural killer. It was literally a guy with a drill killing people.
Was it like this? Can we talk about this drill? Like, is it the same drill in the first movie?
It's just a power drill.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you got an upgrade for Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Sure fucking did.
Because our dude, he wears, you know, like, all leather pants and, like, fringe leather jacket, and he's got this, like, ridiculously ornate pointy guitar that has a big-ass drill coming out the headstock so that there's no way to actually string the guitar or tune it. To be honest, the instrument itself makes no goddamn sense, and I got a little heated, like, looking at it.
Right. It, like, some scenes would have strings, some scenes wouldn't. I bet you that fucking corkscrew guitar is, like, somewhere right now on Reverb.com for, like, way more than it's worth.
$400.
$480. The authentic corkscrew guitar signed by Andrew Dice Clay.
Hey, I got a guitar, Lee.
Ow!
That's Sam Kinison.
Ow!
Wait, really?
Yeah, right? Andrew Dice Clay, right? Ow! Right?
Sam Kinison did that.
I know, I'm just fucking with you.
This is an aside, but, like, I went through this weird little phase over the last couple of years where I went through and I watched Sam Kinison and Andrew Dice Clay videos, and they're just not funny, like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, they're awful, actually. But, like, these guys were, like, the super famous. Like, they Dice sold out Madison Square Garden for multiple nights for his terrible comedy. What was the brain sickness going on in the 80s that, like, made these guys successful?
I remember which stupid song now had the clip of the comedian that I was thinking about and why I got confused. Because Andrew Dice Clay was the he was the one who went, "Oh, you're unbelievable," like, "You're unbelievable," and then, "Oh," that was Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah, and I'm thinking of I'm the Man by Anthrax, and for some reason Sam Kinison comes up in my...
Jordan, what happens next?
So they go to her friend's father's house. They, you know, drink, they party, and throughout all of this, Courtney is having these horrible dreams and visions of people being murdered, her sister telling her, you know, don't go all the way, it's dangerous, and, you know, her friends are starting to get concerned about Courtney. She keeps freaking out while they're all trying to have a good time. At the same point, some boys show up at the party, and there's lots of sexing going on, which is a big theme of this movie, as you know, people might notice. There's a lot of phallic symbols, there's a lot of sexual innuendo, and that's kind of the background focus of everything.
Lots of teenagers getting drilled.
Yeah. Did you guys relate to and enjoy TJ as much as I did?
Which one was TJ?
Hey, you can't be here. You're supposed to be dead. He was really stupid one. With the brown hair.
He was very, like, 80s character.
Dead. We're in heaven.
Before the boys show up, though, like, the slumber party is going on in earnest, and, like, the girls are dancing, and then one of them just, like, takes her top off and starts shaking her titties around, and they start hitting each other with pillows, and then, like, just dumping champagne on the carpet. And that made me so uncomfortable watching these damn teenagers, like, throwing this fucking sugary liquor, like, on the ground. It's just gonna attract ants, and it's gonna ruin that carpet, man.
Yeah, and then getting the pillow feathers everywhere, all up in the champagne and all in their stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Messing the place up.
Okay, that was Dad. That was the most stressful moment of the movie for me, really.
Right, that's the true terror of that movie. That's the goriest scene.
Yeah.
Just carpet murder all around.
So, like, Courtney is, like, clearly having, like, intense psychotic breaks, like, the entire weekend. And her friends don't really seem to, like, understand the gravity of the situation at all. Like, you've never seen a person disassociate in front of you.
So what else? The guy she likes, I think his name is Matt, shows up to the party as well. And I think they finally, Courtney and this guy, start making out. And they're about to have sex when the driller killer kills Matt, and it's not a dream. He really kills him in front of her. She's covered in blood. All of her friends see this, and the rest of the movie is the driller killer taking them out one by one.
And doing it in style.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like an Uncle Jesse from Full House version of style. Like, this is such, like, weird. I don't know. He has a dance sequence. Like, he's strikes me as, like, the personification of the plant from Little Shop of Horrors or something like that.
He's got, like, multiple dance sequences. Yeah, there's just his whole being is a dance sequence.
Yeah, I mean, there's one where he's singing and dancing up a set of stairs about, like, being rich to this god-awful fucking rockabilly song. Again, what is the deal with rockabilly? Why is this even there? I don't know, why was he? And I never understood, so this woman is like disassociating, but like the driller killer is back to life, and then like, I don't know, what is it? Are her friends actually being taken out, or is it all, another, psychiatric break? Which do you think it is?
Well, I think, you know, it's... For people, spoiler alert, whatever. It's a little unclear, but I think it's that she is the one who's in the asylum, not her sister, and everything that's happened has just been part of her psychotic episode. Like, none of it is real.
That seems like a good explanation to me.
Yeah, at the very end, we see Courtney in what looks like a straitjacket and, you know, a white padded room with a drill coming through the bottom. So clearly it's not reality.
But I got to wonder, like, because I didn't see the first one, I've got so many questions about this. What about her sister? Is her sister also in a facility, or is her sister the one that's like out there like throwing champagne on someone's nice white carpet?
Well, I think if you look at the movie as none of it happened at all, I think that helps explain a lot of things, like the crazy guitar and the guy dancing and, you know, people not believing her because none of it's real. And I think that, you know, her sister is, you know, out there in the real world fine, and she's the one who is in the asylum.
Weren't they both in the asylum together at that end scene? Am I making that up?
I don't think so.
No? I don't know. The movie didn't really make a whole lot of sense. It wasn't written very well. I don't think it was really up to interpretation. I think it might have just been bad.
I hate to cast such a harsh judgment on a work of art.
Sorry, but, you know, I mean... Come on, we can talk about TJ, okay? Let's talk about this, okay? I appreciate a lot of things about TJ, but what I appreciated the most out of TJ was how he achieved octaves on a 4-string bass only originally thought possible on a 6-string guitar in certain songs and scenes.
There are moments where Courtney is hallucinating and he's just absolutely like shredding, like playing a white hot Yngwie Malmsteen solo on this stupid goddamn like drill.
That's right. Yeah. I love the like the one-liner death scene at the end. He's like, come on, baby, light my fire. And she's like, okay. And then sets him on fire. What did she say?
Oh yeah, she had a welding torch, and she touches him with the flame and he just goes up like a like a sack of tinder.
Not only that, but she knows exactly how to use it and start it and handle it, too.
Because it's not real. It's all in her mind. You guys are putting in so much thought into a movie that has even less thought than you're putting into it.
I respect you, which is why I gave this movie that you suggested its fair due.
That was your first mistake, is to
first
respect.
Mistake.
The no other part of mistakes. It was we couldn't agree on a movie, so I'm just like, how about this?
Well, I think it was worth my time. What do you think, Breno?
I think the most brutal thing about the movie is that it took like an hour and 10 minutes before actually anybody died.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Man, like, I don't know. I felt like the kill scenes left a lot to be desired. I thought they were pretty weak, actually.
Yeah, that's just like an official rule of B-horror movies is you need to have some gruesome stuff right away. You got to, like, give somebody a taste, like, at the very beginning, maybe. And I'm not just talking about some bullshit snapshots from the first movie. I'm talking some real blood flowing, like, the first minute and a half. And then you can go into a kind of cutaway to like, oh, a nice normal life. And then maybe you got 20 minutes tops of like nice, okay times before some shit starts hitting the fan. But in this fucking movie, it was like all of her just freaking out at stuff that wasn't really happening, I guess. But then it wasn't until like I said, like an hour. I mean, I think the whole movie was an hour and 10 minutes, to be honest. But it felt like 90% of the movie was just them hanging out and not being killed.
There was one, I enjoyed watching this movie, like, even though it's not a good movie, just for like little details that just kind of made it fun for me. Like, like I mentioned earlier, singing along to some song called Tokyo Convertible, like that makes me happy inside. Like that was, somebody was like, yeah, all the kids will be into rockabilly and they'll sing about Tokyo Convertible. Like, that's a real thing. And also, one of the scenes, Courtney envisions her friend that has a pimple. The pimple just takes over her entire face and just bursts. Like, total trauma gore. Like, it's good stuff.
Out of place, but pretty cool.
So I enjoyed that bit. I will say that it's nowhere up there with, like, Rock and Roll Space Patrol and for some of the worst movies I've ever seen, but it's definitely not good.
I'm sorry I ruined your lives by having you watch this.
Never again. If it's up there on YouTube and not being taken down, that's pretty much a fair bet that it's not a good movie.
I want to test your, like, judgment on that, but I also don't have any time to go searching for shit, so we'll just agree to disagree there.
Oh, screw. I bet you'll find Schindler's List on there or some shit. I'm just
Bobby Boris Pickett died 10 years ago. He was the writer and singer of the Monster Mash. He got a number one hit out of the Monster Mash. It actually went to the top 10 in the United States like 3 different times during his lifetime. And I believe it hit number one on the foreign charts a couple of decades after it was initially released in 1962. Bobby, like, never quit. He saw how successful, how much people love the Monster Mash, and he spent most of his life trying to recreate the Monster Mash. There was the Transylvanian Twist. There was the Monster Swim. There was what was the one you sent me, Jordan?
It was about climate change.
It was like the Climate Mash.
oh man!
And there was also the Monster Rap. So I feel like we should play one of these songs to close out the show. I'm kind of partial to the Monster Rap right now.
What do you guys think is, like, the best metal song to hang for Halloween? Like, what's, like, the best Halloween metal? And I'm not talking about the band Halloween, some shit. Knock it off. Let's
be adults.
I want out. It's a sick song.
That's a sweet song.
On Twitter, I made it very clear that Vampyra by the Devin Townsend Band is, you know, bar none, the best Halloween song of metal.
I don't think
I've
ever heard that song.
Yeah, you should not only hear the song, but watch the music video for it.
Didn't he also have a song called Vampoka?
It's a graveyard smash. Vampoka, I think someone brought that up to me. as another thing I should check out. I haven't checked that out. I definitely should. But Vampira, the music video is just, this was back when Devin Townsend was definitely into his cocaine days, and he's still wearing like his ridiculous wireframe glasses, and his teeth are just, you know, still in very poor shape. It's a great video. It's a good time. I'm going to be playing it on loop October 31st all throughout the day.
I think go-to songs, metal, rock, whatever, for Halloween, or they have to be the Misfits Halloween. Yeah. And King Diamond Halloween.
Yeah, King Diamond's got it.
I'm kind of partial to Dawkins' The Dream Warriors.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. No, that song is a fucking jam. I won't hear any, like, back talk on this one. Like, sure, it's silly, and the video is amazing with George Lynch playing his, like, skeleton guitar and breaking the shackles from the dungeon. But, man, that's a tight jam, man. That's a tight jam.
There's another metal song that's related to a horror movie. Do you remember the Fear Factory song that came out on the Saw soundtrack? That like wasn't featured in the movie at all. But if you got Saw, the original Saw on DVD, there was a Fear Factory music video related to the movie somehow, where they had all the band members like shackled up, I think, in a movie theater or something, and it was called like "Bite the Hand That Bleeds You." And it's probably one of the worst songs they've ever put out, which really says something because we're talking about Fear Factory here. But
incredible highs, incredible lows with that band.
Yes. Incredible lows. That's one of them.
Also, like Jordan sent me the Fat Boys. Was it Freddy Krueger rap?
And that's actually Robert Englund. They got the real Freddy Krueger to be in this absurd music video.
Yeah.
Like by Freddie Rapson.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. All right, we should probably call it. We gotta go, man. We gotta string up fake cobwebs and shit and get eggs to throw at children.
Toilet paper, etc.
Yeah.
Little plastic spider rings that don't really fit anybody's finger.
Those things rule.
Yeah, they're too big for a child's finger, and they're too small for an adult's finger.
I last year during Halloween was the first Halloween that I had in my own house. I bought like fucking 20 pounds of candy to give out to trick-or-treaters, and two came by.
Yeah, that's how. No one takes their kids trick-or-treating anymore.
I mean, they do, just not in my neighborhood because it sucks.
Or they do the parking lot trunk or treat as a thing now.
That's probably.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That seems more efficient. You get more coverage quickly.
Yeah, back when I lived in Springfield with my dad, we lived in like the burbs, and so like all the inner city people would drive their kids into the neighborhoods, like in just vans. They would drive these kids here and they would just like clean us out. Like, kids weren't even nice about it. They would just take handfuls at a time despite you telling them to stop.
I respect that, man. Like, Halloween is for the children. Like, children get candy. That's it. You don't even have to be nice about it. Like, this, you are entitled to be a little shit and take candy. That's your thing.
Right on.
Now I'm just thinking of you wailing on a little kid in like a devil costume. You know, give me back my Snickers, you little shit.
Just one. I said just one. I said, can you count? What do they teach you in those schools my tax dollars are going for? Fuck.
On this Halloween and in all is in the future, I suggest that you practice radical candy redistribution. That might include punching a fat kid and taking his sack of candy.
Hey man, I'm sitting right here.
From all of us at Toilet Radio, I hope you have a spooktacular Halloween. Anything else you guys want to say before we close this one?
Have a most spooktacular Halloween. You know, get your candy for the kids. Don't keep it all for yourself. If you have any left over, just leave it out in a bin out on the front porch and let them have it. For Christ's sake, don't be a fucking jabroni. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Here's a little Crypt Keeper for everyone on your way out.
Cuts out. Yeah. The little sick ass Crypt Keeper. He's been waiting all night to do it, and it just cuts the thing out.
Oh, well. Bye, everybody.